हरि ओम। सो आई विल जस्ट समराइज द फर्स्ट सिक्स चैप्टर्स ऑफ द भगवद गीता। सो गिव अस अ बैकग्राउंड वेयर वी स्टैंड एंड टुडे वी विल डू श्लोका नंबर 38 ऑफ चैप्टर सिक्स। वी आर ऑलमोस्ट डन विद चैप्टर सिक्स एंड वी हैव कवर्ड दिस बिफोर, बट एज वी नो द भगवद गीता स्टार्ट्स विद अर्जुनस कन्फ्यूजन वेर ही डज नॉट नो वॉट इज हिज ड्यूटी एंड ही ट्राइज टू convince Bhagwan that we should not fight this war, and he wants to take sannyas, go to the forest, and he gives all kind of Vedic spiritual arguments which have a wrong basis. He is misinterpreting the teachings of the Upanishads and the Vedas. So Bhagwan in the second chapter first starts with the highest knowledge that none of us die. Nobody is born, nobody dies, because we are all that supreme Atma, the Self. Neither born nor perishing, and this body is a cloth that we wear, and at the time of death, we give up this cloth and then take up a new body. Vasamsi jirnani yathavi. Then he tells him at various levels what is his duty. You know, he says his duty as a kshatriya, his duty to dharma. Then when he performs his duties in the right way, even if he dies in the war, he will go to heaven. And if he wins the war, he'll get the kingdom and still go to heaven because he has done his duty. And then he tells him that people will consider you a coward, you ran away from the battle, and all the heroes who look up to you will talk very badly about you, and you will feel insulted. And to live like that for a great warrior is worse than death. So then he tells Arjuna about the various paths that he's going to cover in the Bhagavad Gita. He gives a brief introduction to all of them. Karma Yoga, Bhakti, Jnana, knowledge, all that is covered in the second chapter and ends with Sthita Prajna Lakshanani, which are the qualities of a wise person, which Arjuna's question he answers. Then third chapter is Karma Yoga, which is very, very practical, how we should live our life, work in the world unselfishly, devoting all our activities to Bhagwan, without I, me, and my, how to work. In the fourth chapter, Bhagwan reveals his nature as the Supreme Lord who has manifested upon this earth. First time he reveals that to Arjuna and to all of us. And then he tells Arjuna to work in the Yajna spirit. How in the Yajna means not only offering in the fire, but when we work together for a higher cause, then we offer our actions to Bhagwan. So that is working in the Yajna spirit. And every action that we do can become a Yajna, can be dedicated to the Lord. Like before we eat, we offer it to Bhagwan. Before we, when we get up in the morning, we remember God at going to bed at night. When we are studying or reading, we swadhyaya is we offer to God. So every activity that I do can become a yajna if I offer that to Bhagwan. And the highest yajna is jnana yajna, where the ignorance is sacrificed in the fire of knowledge and I know who I am. That's why Puja Gurudev used to call his Gita discourses, in which he started in the 1950s and continued till 80s, 90s, as Gita Jnana Yajna. Everything was Jnana Yajna, offering the ignorance in the fire of knowledge. Not only Gita, but any Upanishads, whatever he taught, he taught with that attitude that we have to offer our ignorance in the fire of knowledge. And in the fifth chapter, Bhagavan tells him that since you are the Supreme Self, you are the Atma, you are not the doer, because the Atma doesn't do anything. The Lord or the consciousness within us doesn't do anything, gives us the ability to work. And so whatever action I'm doing at any given time, you know, whether eating, drinking, walking, talking, opening eyes, closing eyes, whatever I'm doing, my BMI is doing it, but I am the Atma. So always abiding in that understanding that I am the true self, which we call as Om in the BMI chart. That is my true nature. Of course, I am this body, mind, intellect, perceiver, feeler, thinker, and all that. But my true nature is divine. I am a manifestation of Bhagavan. We all are, even the plants, the animals, birds, fish, everybody is. So respect for all beings and respect for myself. And having the idea that I am in my presence, this body, mind, intellect is working. So always having the attitude of a witness. I'm watching my mind, watching my body. In the sixth chapter, which we are doing right now, I will go in with a little more detail. So Bhagavan starts with what is sannyas and what is yoga. So he says that activities done without doership, that I am not the doer. One is, one attitude is I am Atma and my presence, everything is happening. Or the second is for a devotee, Bhagwan is doing everything, I am his humble servant. So either way, this attitude of devotion is where there is no doership, that is sannyas. And what is yoga? Yoga in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagwan gives a different meaning. He says yoga is working without the fruit of action. See, yoga Bhagwan uses throughout the Bhagavad Gita, but in different places it means different. In the sixth chapter is working without worrying about the result, about the fruit, dedicating to Bhagwan, and whatever result comes, do my best. It's not that you don't work hard, but surrender all my activities and the fruit I dedicate to Bhagwan. And then he talks about when you start on the spiritual path, you have to put a lot of effort. But then as your mind becomes more quiet, then even your spirit, all your worldly actions, the mind remains quiet. So he gives the example of a horse, that when you want to climb a wild horse, you have to put a lot of effort. But once you have climbed that horse, then you can, then your mind has to become calm. So same way. And then the very famous shloka, Uddhared Atmanatmanam, na Atmanam Avsadayet, Atmaivi Atmano Bandhu, Atmaiva Ripur Atman. So you lift yourself by yourself. Do not expect somebody else to come. Yes, the Guru can guide, Bhagwan can give us the scriptures, but ultimately effort has to be mine. And that is, he says, you have to lift yourself. And once you have gone up, do not fall back. And then he talks about how the yogi, the meditator, one of the things is to practice equanimity. So being the same among people who like me, who don't like me, who are neutral, I am the same. And then also to be the same in honor, dishonor, success, failure, you know, heat and cold. So being same in the pairs of opposites. And then the shloka we covered in meditation number 8 today was that the person remains equanimous with possessions. Whether they are there, fine. If they are not there, he doesn't get attached, doesn't start crying. And his knowledge is firm. He is firmly abiding in that knowledge. And then he talks about the technique of meditation, how we should sit in silence. Of course, in the olden days, they were in the forest, but we cannot go to the forest, but get up early in the morning when it's not very noisy, relatively early, and then sit in silence in a separate room. Even husband wife should not be in the same room, should meditate in separate rooms. And then he talks about head, neck and body in the straight line, how to sit and how to practice this technique of meditation. So that is given in the sixth chapter. And then what is the fruit of meditation? So he says one who meditates regularly experiences a profound shanti, you know, nirvana. He experiences the supreme bliss of Bhagwan within and he gets liberated. And then he talks about how to, throughout the day, one should not overeat or not overstarve, not sleep too much, not sleep at all, not do too much activity and not be lazy doing nothing. So remaining balanced in all the activities. And one who sees that one who lives the life and regularly meditate experiences the quietude of the mind. He gives the example of a lamp. Just as a lamp, if there is no wind, how if the lamp is straight? So same way a meditator is able to keep his mind straight, not running around. While a lamp, if there is a wind blowing, then it will be all over the place. But if you protect it, so same way his mind is protected from the worldly things and remains centered on the Lord. Does not mean he doesn't work, but even while working, he keeps the Lord in his mind. And then he says, having attained this knowledge, then this person never deviates. Never deviates. He remains the same in this knowledge. And even the greatest sorrow of the world cannot deviate a meditator. So he or she remains calm even in greatest sorrow. So yasmin stito na dukkhena guru napi vichalyate. Even the world can give all kind of sorrows, but this person. And then he talks about how to quietly, slowly reduce our sankalpas, our fanciful imaginations, which make the mind run outside, and turn the mind inward. So that is what. And then again, he keeps talking about the benefit of how this person experiences the, not the worldly joys, but the inner joy of Brahman, God's presence within, one can very clearly experience in meditation. And he sees, Bhagwan says, he sees all in me and me in all. Bhagwan is in all and everybody is in Bhagwan. And Bhagwan is in me too. So I am not separate from God. And one who sees me all the time, everywhere, in all people, I never leave him. See, Bhagwan never leaves us. Actually, Bhagwan is always with us, but half the time we don't remember that God is with us. So, and he always lives in me, Bhagwan says. And then Arjuna said that he, now the last part of the chapter is question and answer. So Arjuna asks that if the mind is so difficult to control, it runs all over. How can I do that? I find that it's like the wind. Trying to control the wind is impossible. So controlling the mind is also impossible. So Bhagavan says, Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagye nacha grihyate. So with practice, meditation can be done. Mind can be controlled and quieted. And by detachment. Why does the mind run outside? Because I am attached to things. I'm attached to my children, my family, my money, my house, my possessions, my job, my title, my position. So all those attachments bind us and make the mind run outside. So when I'm sitting for meditation, I'm neither a father, nor a mother, nor a man, nor a woman, nor a child, nobody. I am a seeker of truth. So that's how he tells Arjuna, answers his question. And he says, one whose mind is uncontrolled, is very difficult for him to achieve the yoga, the highest truth. So now, last week, or not last week, 3 months ago, we had done shloka number 37, which was Arjuna's next question. After having talked about mind, he says that Ayatish in 37, he says, one who is on the path, Shraddhaya, with Shraddha, he is on the path in 37, but he uncontrolled, but he loses his control. And he gets deviated from this yoga, from this path of spirituality. He has progressed, but then for some reason, his mind takes him away. Either we'll talk more about that today, how the mind can be taken away from this path of yoga. So what happens to such a person? It's a very, very beautiful question Arjuna asks, that a person may be on the path and may have died, you know, may not have reached or may have deviated from the path. So what happens to him? So that was his question on 37, and 38 and 39, he continues this question, and then from 40 today we will see Bhagwan's answer. So chapter 6, shloka number 38. Kachin obra kachin obhaya vibhrashtaha
kachin obhaya vibhrashtaha
chinnamiva brahmishvati
chinnam
brahmiva nashyati Chinna Brahmiva Nashyati
Chinna Brahmiva Nashyati
Apratishto Mahabaho
Apratishto Mahabaho
Vimudho Brahmanaspati
Vimudho Brahmanaspati
Together Kachin Obhaya Viprashtaha Chinna Brahmiva Nashyati Apratishto Mahabaho Vibhudho Brahmanaspati. So Kaschit. Kaschit means maybe it might happen. Ubhaya Vibhrashtaha. So Ubhaya means from both, he has fallen. He has not achieved either of them. So like by two, what he means is that worldly pleasures he doesn't get, this person on the spiritual path, and he doesn't reach God, he doesn't get the final enlightenment. And what happens to him? So his life is wasted, Arjuna says. It's like the cloud. Arjuna will explain, But just as a cloud comes and does not give rain, and for some reason the wind pushes the cloud away, and so he doesn't attain the highest truth. So what happens to such a person? He is on the spiritual path, he doesn't reach. So we have the shloka, the summary here. So the verse 38, he talks about Shraddha. Actually, he mentions in the previous verse Shraddha, Shraddhayo Petaha. So Shraddha, people think as faith. Yes, it is faith, but it is not blind faith. It's not, I blindly just, you know, follow everything. Shraddha is faith with knowledge. So what I hear in the scriptures or what I have heard, I then think about it and get the knowledge of my own, I'm convinced. So then that Shraddha, which happens in the scriptures and in God, is firm. That's what Shankaracharya ji says, that Shraddha is not just blind faith, but faith accompanied by right knowledge, then your faith is firm. So Shraddha is that. And he says a person who is on the spiritual path and he falls from the path. So Ubhaya Vibhrashtaha. So what it means is neither in the world, we'll talk about that. But false means he does not able to reach the final goal of enlightenment. You know, that's what they say. When you are on the spiritual path, your goal is enlightenment. And he doesn't reach it. And three reasons can happen. One is temptation. One is death. And one is lack of effort. So temptation is, I'm on the path and then something happened and I get tempted. You know, it could be I'm bored of this. Let me have some fun. Let me travel. Let me do this. How long I'm going to do this? Or somebody tempts you, or temptation of money, or temptation of, other sex, whatever. So everybody probably knows the story of Vishwamitra, Rishiji. He was such a great yogi, great meditator, tremendous power of tapas he had. And Indra was worried that if he becomes very powerful, he will take away my kingdom of heaven. See, Indra, even though he's a very powerful lord of all the devtas, but he's always worried if somebody gets more powerful. So either a demons can take it over, or he gets attacked, then he goes to Vishnu Bhagwan for help if he's if he's attacked by demons. And we see how often Bhagwan Vishnu protects him, as Sri Krishna, Sri Ram, all of those, by removing demons, Narsimha and all that. So Vishwamitra was meditating tremendously, and Indra was worried that he will take over my kingdom. So Indra sends a beautiful apsara from heaven, Menka. And she stands in front of him, dances, and she's very beautifully dressed and very, very, fancifully all decorated and all. And Vishwamitra, even though he was a great yogi, gets tempted. And he falls in love with her, and they spend several years together and have a daughter named Shakuntala. Not the Shakuntala of Kalidasji, but another Shakuntala. And so then suddenly, after a few years, Vishwamitra realizes, Are kya ho gaya? What have I done? I was all the way up there, and now I have fallen just for a girl, and gave up all my tapas. He becomes very ashamed. So then he leaves that apsara. He says, I can no longer live with you. And then he does tapas even more, even much severe tapas for many, many years. And after all that tapas, he attains the rank of Brahmarishi. He becomes not only enlightened, but the highest rishi. He attains that, and he develops a lot of power. So the point is that no matter how advanced a person is, one has to be very careful, because things can tempt you, So that is number one. Number two is, person dies. He was trying to reach, and his life was not enough. So he didn't reach that highest goal, and he died prematurely. I mean, he may have lived his whole life, but that life was not enough to reach enlightenment. And that's what people feel. I start on this path towards Bhagwan, and then they say, oh, you may not get in this life. If I die, then what? Then all my effort is wasted. The next life again I have to start. So Bhagwan, of course, will answer in number 40 and 41, but briefly, see, what happens at death is that your worldly knowledge goes away. Yes, whatever your ABCD, you have to, even you may be a professor of mathematics, PhD, but next life you have to start from 2 + 2 = 4 and learn all the, nowadays, of course, nobody learns addition, subtraction, multiplication, everything the phone is doing. So nobody, otherwise we knew what is 17 times 6. We could just say like that. Nowadays for people, that's like rocket science. Oh, trying to multiply, forget it. So all that we have to learn. You have to learn, reading, writing, arithmetic, all those things. You have to learn walking, how to walk, how to talk. But your spiritual progress that you have made does not perish. And we'll talk about that in next week. But wherever you have reached on the spiritual path, Bhagwan says, I will keep that safe. I will keep that knowledge safe, so that won't be lost. And Bhagwan will explain. So the spiritual knowledge does not go, but that he has not told Arjuna yet. But Arjuna says, if the person dies, what happens to him? His knowledge is wasted. Again, does he have to study Bhagavad Gita and all? Yeah, the intellectual knowledge he will need, but his spiritual progress, what he has made, Bhagwan says, I will keep it safely in a cupboard, and when you are born again, when it's the time is right, I'll give it to you. And the third is, if I get tired, if I don't put enough effort, you say, Are yaar, itne saal I have done, so many years, I don't see any progress, I'm still the same. And not only that, people tell him, oh, you have been studying Bhagavad Gita for 10 years, 8 years? He says, yeah, you have not changed, you are still the same. I don't see any improvement in you. You are wasting your time going to all these gurus and all. Come on, let's go for a movie. Why you want to get up in the morning and meditate? So either people tell him, and then he himself says, yeah, yeah, that's true. You know, it is so hard, get up in the morning, meditate, then, you know, do some puja, then do karma yoga, do service. Let me enjoy life. So either people disturb him or he himself gets disturbed. And so neither he has accomplished his goal in this life of enjoying life. See, they say, you know, life is what? Khao, piyo, maja karo, enjoy life. You know, I didn't even do that. And I didn't even reach God. So I got stuck in the middle, you know, na idhar ka raha, na udhar ka raha. There is a famous song, very old movie. I forget the name of the movie, but she says, Bhagwan, na sansar se bhaage firte ho, Bhagwan ko tum kya paoge? Is lok ko bhi apna na sake, us lok mein bhi pastaoge. It was a very popular song at that time, a very beautiful dance this lady does. But there is this person on the spiritual path and she's trying to tempt him. She said, you are not even enjoying the world. And not only that, you are running away from the world. You know, you are not even doing what you are supposed to do. You are just wasting your time in all this running after God. But, you know, you are not going to reach God. You know, they say, oh, it takes many lifetimes. So you won't reach God and you won't enjoy the world. So your life will be wasted. And we'll answer that in the next week, or maybe at the end of today's class. Yeah, so at the end of today's last shloka, we will talk about that. And that makes sense. You know, people say, yeah, yeah, you know, that's true. If I don't get, what will happen? And he says, it's like a cloud. You know, a cloud, you know, like suppose you are expecting rain, like there is drought, and especially in India, the farmers, they so much depend on rain for their crops, and, you know, or even here. And so clouds have gathered and they are ready, and you're thinking, oh, today it will rain. And then for some reason, a strong wind comes and pushes the cloud away and disperses it into different. Chinna Brahmi Vanishyati, just the cloud gets dispersed everywhere and doesn't give the rain. So what happened? That cloud is wasted. It had all its potential, it didn't do it, and so people are disappointed. We didn't get what we were. So is that his life is also like a cloud? And they say, in any case, there is no guarantee in spirituality. Is it guaranteed? Bhagavan says, no. Is it guaranteed I will reach? Bhagavan says, no, there is no guarantee, but what, how Bhagavan answers, we'll talk about that. So Brahmanapati, he has been on the path of Bhagavan, on the path of spirituality, but did not reach. So is his life wasted like the cloud that came and did not give water? So same way his life becomes a complete waste. So is that what's going to happen? So neither he got the worldly enjoyment, nor did he reach God. So dono taraf se reh gaya, you know, like they say, no, one who is on two boats, you know, riding, he won't accomplish either one. So is that what will happen to him? And then in 39, Arjuna continues his question. So as we said, you know, he did not reach the spiritual goal. He did not enjoy the world. And what happened to him? So here he recognizes Bhagwan Shri Krishna as the Supreme Guru and says, only you can answer my question. So in chapter 6, number 39.
Etan me samshayam Krishna.
Etan me samshayam Krishna.
Chetum arhasya sheshatah.
Chetum arhasya sheshatah.
Tvadanya samshayasyasya. Chetana yupapadyate.
Chetana yupapadyate.
So etat means this me samshaya, my doubt, O Krishna. Here he says Krishna because Krishna was his friend, was his childhood friend, brother-in-law, so he felt comfortable. So, of course, when we refer to Krishna, we should not use the word Krishna. We should say Bhagwan Shri Krishna or Shri Ram or Mother Saraswati, Mother Lakshmi. Not just Saraswati, Lakshmi, not like that. Shiva, no, Lord Shiva, Bhagwan Shri. So when we talk about God, we should always use respectful language. Arjuna, of course, was his close friend and was his brother-in-law, so he could do that. So this samshaya, this doubt of mine, chetum, to dispel this doubt, arhasi. Arhasi means you should. Arhasi is used a lot in Bhagavad Gita that you should, you must. So you must remove this doubt of mine, asheshatah, without leaving anything behind. So that is the difference between a worldly teacher and a spiritual teacher. A true spiritual teacher will teach completely, will not, you know, leave anything behind. If he does, then he's not a good teacher. In the world, sometimes people do that. Oh, I know, like the, you know, a manager or a supervisor will not give all the knowledge to the juniors guys, you know. He'll say, oh, mere jaisa ban jayega, he will pass me, you know, that's why he will keep something back. But a true spiritual teacher will not do that. And tvad anya samshayas asya. So of this doubt, aside from you, tvad anya chetana hi upapadyate. I do not find anybody who is capable of giving me this knowledge except you. So doubts we always have, you know, but we should not doubt the knowledge or the teacher or God. We should say, I don't understand, and we can approach a teacher. You know, definitely one should approach a teacher and ask this knowledge. But having doubt, that's why Shraddhavan Pranashyati, Bhagavan says that Ashraddha, one who does not have faith, doubtful, he perishes. But Shraddhavan Labhate Jnanam. So, one who has Shraddha, faith in this knowledge will only get. If say, not only that, in the world also, if you see a teacher, a professor in college or something, and you doubt that, I don't think this person knows that much, then you will never learn from that person. You know, and anything, if you have a doubt in the teacher, you will not learn, but all the more in the spirituality. Again, does not mean blind faith. If something is not clear, you ask, you know, you can question, you can disagree, but respectfully. So what happens to us, we are imprisoned in our ignorance, in our thoughts. We get caught, you know, we say, oh, ye nahi ho sakta. Like I said, somebody tells you, oh, why are you on this path? Or I myself. So these wrong ideas that we get from the world takes us away from what is in the Bhagavad Gita, and we get ourselves caught in our own arguments. And then we get so caught in the arguments that we fail to accomplish anything. So this reminds me of a story. So there was this mother, and she was busy reading a book, and her 3-4-year-old boy was, you know, just running around playing, and she was kind of watching him. She got engrossed in the book, and it so happened he found a blanket. So he started playing with the blanket, and he lay down in the blanket, and he held it, and he started rolling, and he was completely caught in the blanket himself. went round, 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 you know, and then went against the wall, and then he started crying. But she couldn't hear his crying because it was too soft in the blanket. So after some time, she said, where is this guy gone? And then she sees the blanket and moving. So she goes there and she hears, you know, his little soft crying coming out. He was crying loud, but she couldn't hear him. So she, what the way he had rolled himself, she unrolled. He didn't know that if he could unroll, he would get out. So she unrolls him and gets him out. And she said, you are just like your father. You get caught in your ideas and then you can't get out. Said to Bab Jasaya. So then this kid is okay. So the point is, that is what we do. Sometimes we get wrong ideas from the world and we make them our ideas. And then we get so caught in our own thinking that we are not ready to listen to anybody else. We don't think that. And then we make all kinds of arguments, you know, why spirituality is no good, why there is, where is the God, there is no God. And oh, this was written 5,000 years ago by some yogi sitting in the forest in the Himalaya somewhere. He was not married, he didn't have a family. What does he know about our problem? How can somebody 5,000, 7,000 years ago, the Upanishad, just waste of time, you know. Let us, this is a modern age, you know, let's talk modern science and quantum physics and space. Ye kya old-fashioned thinking you are doing? But the difference is that the modern knowledge will continuously change. Like we used to believe the earth is flat. And then when Copernicus and then Galileo told us the earth is round, they actually persecuted them. The Christian church persecuted Copernicus because he said not only the earth is round, and they used to think that the earth is the center and the whole universe rotates around the earth. He said, no, no, Copernicus and Galileo. He says the sun is the star and the planets revolve around. And they were actually persecuted. They said, oh, this, you are going against the Bible, going against all that. So all these arguments then we give. And then we also start criticizing, you know, government. Are these politicians, they do this, they do that. So even the government may do some good, but we only see the bad in that. And that's what happens. So that we have so much doubt. We don't trust the government, don't trust politicians. And he says that my mind is so confused. It is, you know, running here and there. I don't know whom to believe, whether I should believe the spiritualists or the materialists. Because they are preaching different path. Materialist says, collect wealth. You know, these charvakas, they say you have one life. So eat and drink ghee. So that was their best pleasure. Eat whatever you want, drink ghee, borrow money. See, they say don't even bother to earn money. Borrow money from others. Because when you die, who's going to pay it back? Don't even work too hard. Enjoy your life as much as you can. And you only have one life. Where we came from, we don't know. And where we are going, we don't know. Birth is just an accident. Oh, my man and father and mother met, and so you were born. What is this previous life and heaven and hell? This is all these sadhus are just making fools of us. So that's how people think, that birth was an accident, death was an accident. Where I come from doesn't matter. Where I go doesn't matter. You have this life, eat, enjoy, and do not get despaired. So the wise person will think that if this knowledge is written by Bhagwan, is given by Bhagwan himself, or the Upanishads are given by great realized rishis, great masters over thousands of years, and the knowledge has been repeatedly reinforced in all the Upanishads, in the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavad Gita, everywhere it is, Brahma Sutras, and even other religions, to some extent they believe that you know, this, that there is a heaven, there is hell, you should, you know, the Ten Commandments, you know, practice ahimsa and all. So they believe some of those. So it's been proved by many wise people, many scholars. And the word Krishna is one, of course, is Bhagwan Shri Krishna, but Krish also means scrape. So one who scrapes your ignorance. See, when you bring Bhagwan in your life, your mind gets scraped, as it were, you know, like with a hard scraper. So he says, this, O Bhagwan, you are the only one who can remove my doubt. So only I see only you because I am ignorant. So he says, you please remove my doubt. I seem to be caught in my own confusions, just as that child was caught in his own confusions in the blanket and didn't know how to get out, and he had to call his mother. So here we have to call our guru, who is our mother and father. We say, na, tvameva mata pita tvame. So Bhagwan now here is acting as the guru throughout the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So in shloka number 40, Bhagwan starts his answer. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Partha Naiveha Namutra.
Partha Naiveha Namutra.
Vinashastasya Vidyate.
Vinashastasya Vidyate.
Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschida.
Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschida.
Durgatim tata gachati.
Durgatim tata gachati.
Together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Partha Naiveha Namutra. Vinashastasya Vidyate. Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschida. Durgatim tata gachati. So here Bhagwan addresses Arjuna first as Partha, the daughter of Pritha. Na eva, not at all it is possible. Iha na amutra. Iha means here in this world. Amutra means hereafter in all the other worlds after death where you go. Vinashaha tasya vidyate. One who is sincerely on the spiritual path, he never loses. He never gets destruction happens. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit. And one who has done good deeds in this life and has progressed spiritually, as we said, your knowledge is preserved. Your ABCD and all you may not know, but your spiritual progress is preserved. Kalyana krit. So if you have done good in this life, helped others, served the world, got closer to God, did puja, bhakti, meditation, knowledge, then such a person who has done good for himself or for the world, kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. Kaschit durgatim means he never comes to bad. He says, I guarantee. So Bhagwan himself is saying that if you have done good deeds, you will get the result of the good deeds. So you don't have to feel that your life will be wasted. And he calls Arjuna as Tata. Tata means son. So very beautiful sentiments. Bhagwan says that you are like my child here, because a guru student is like a child. So he says, just as a father will never lie to a child or never give wrong information, even he may be a criminal, but he'll say, I want my son to grow up to be a good person. I don't want him to be a criminal and become dacoit and police chasing him. So he says, oh, so here he says, when he's calling him son, he says, you are like my child. Why will I give you wrong information? So very beautiful sentiments Bhagwan says. So not here and not hereafter. He ever suffers. Why? Because this world is a world of karmas, right? Everything is based on karma. So we tell the students also, if you study, you will get A grade, you will go to a good college, and then you will go to a good universe, all that. If you don't study, you get C or D, then, you know, you'll get an ordinary place, and then you won't get admission to a college, then Yeah, you take up some, maybe you become a plumber or electrician, but you won't get the high, education like, being an engineer or computer programmer or AI. Nowadays, that is, if you know AI, then you are the boss. And then doctor and lawyer, all those. So to reach all those, you have to study. We tell our child, and same thing in a company, there are two employees in a similar job. One is lazy, barely doesn't get to work on time, doesn't care much about, they're both salesmen. His sales figures are very low. And the other guy, gets on time, works hard, he travels, he sells, he calls. And his sales say 100,000, and the other guy's sale is 30 or 40,000. Who will get the promotion? The one who has worked. So in this world, everything, so Gurudev in his commentary says, what I am today is because of what I did in the past. I did good in the past. That's why I was given a human birth with reasonable intelligence and, living in this country where we have so many comforts. And, we don't have to walk miles to get water and, all that. I mean, there's so many comforts. We have proper bathrooms and all that. So, we have reached here because of our good deeds in the past. We studied, as India, in India, when we were students, we studied well and then we got into good careers. And that's how we got our visa to come here. We passed our exams and everything. So if my present is a result of my past, then what will the future be? Result of my present. What I'm doing now will determine my future. And it is very clear. They say good actions lead to good results, bad actions lead to bad results sooner or later. Temporarily, you may cheat, people, but ultimately, this knowledge, wrong actions will get you into trouble. So he says that here or hereafter. So here is, as we said, a person who is doing good, what are the benefit? First of all, society will recognize he's a good person. He helps, he donates, he's very generous, he's studying well, all that. But also, when you progress on the spiritual path, you will get a very peace of mind, very amazing peace of mind. Your mind becomes calm, becomes peaceful, becomes quiet, and you enjoy that bliss of Bhagwan. See, Om, this Lord is within. Anybody who does not know the BMI chart, for you it is new. Yeah, so I BMI, body, mind, intellect. So that is who I think I am. I have this body, I have this mind and intellect. With the body, I peep, BPO. With the body, I perceive the objects. With the mind, I feel the emotions. With the intellect, I think the thoughts. So that is the BMI chart. Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda Ji had given this to us. So this is who BMI is, who I am. PFT is my ego, and the world is objects, emotions, thought. And vasanas are my desires, tendencies, which make me take human birth and which decide my actions. If I have good desires, I'll do good actions. And Om is God's presence within us. God is in every one of us, otherwise we wouldn't be able to walk, talk, and all that. So it says God's presence is within. So when we contact God within, we experience that inner joy, that inner bliss of Om. And then when you die, then Bhagwan will tell us in the next life, in the next shlokas, that you go to heaven. If you have done good, and if you have done bad, you go to hell. And I have a story, but I'll tell it next week. So neither in this life is a waste, because you, even if you, maybe materially you may not be as successful as somebody who is a dishonest crook, but then he will get the result of his karmas. Nobody can escape. And I have done good, I will experience the inner peace, and I'll get success also, because Bhagwan will make sure. He says, Name bhaktav pranashyati. Bhagwan says in the another place in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, my devotee never perishes. I take responsibility. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. So he says that this is a very hopeful shloka. It has a lot of hope in that, that it doesn't matter even if you die, don't accomplish, but I will make sure in the next life you continue. And Bhagwan will talk about that next week. What will happen to a person who has done a lot of good but did not reach the final goal? And people say, "Are he lost everything, you know, he just lived an ordinary life, he, you know, didn't enjoy, he didn't go to parties, and he doesn't know the fun of drinking, gambling, and all this, you know, are kya, you know, what are you? You're living a life, boring life." You know, that's what they say. Come on, let's go to parties, let's drink, you know, mingle with the opposite sex, so all those things. People consider that as fun. But once you are on this path, then you realize that that fun is temporary. True joy is only within. If you find God within, that is the permanent joy, then worldly joys are not that important for such a person. He says, "Theek hai, if I have it, it's good." Not that he gives up, like Janak Maharaj, you know, Sita Ji's father. He was a king. He used to live in a palace, sleep on silken, you know, sheets, and you know, and all those, and enjoy all the wealth. But his life was a life. He was enlightened master because he always studied with great rishis, and so his life was a life of spirituality, where even his, what do you call, his subjects, his people, he would consider them as his children and take care of them. So, but on another hand, another person, you know, may not be interested in palace and all. He may be interested in a simple life. I have a simple house, comforts, enough to live. You know, they say, na sai itna dijiye, jame kutum samaye. Main bhi bhuka na rahun, sadhu na bhuka jaye. He says, oh sai, oh God, give me enough so that my family is comfortably able to live. I don't want, not that I want to become a beggar, or, and I should not be hungry, means I should have enough comfortable to live my life, have my needs, and sadhu na bhukaja. And if a guest comes or a mahatma comes, I should feed him. So that much I want. I should be able to live a reasonable life. And if anybody comes to my house, I should feed him. So that's what Bhagwan says, that na, it is na eva, na eva iha, na amutra. So he says, oh, I give you a complete guarantee that a person kalyanakrit, one who has done good deeds in this life, first of all, his life here will be good. You know, one who has done evil, sooner or later, he will suffer his consequence. And even if he doesn't suffer for some reason, he will suffer in the next life. And he will go, you know, heaven and hell, all those things are mentioned in the scripture. And he says, I guarantee them. I make sure that, O child, O son, I make sure that a person, kalyanakrit, one who has done good deeds for others, one who has lived a good life, one who has served, one who has acquired the right knowledge, one who has done bhakti, has come close to God. And it can be different paths. You know, somebody could be on the path of karma yoga, service. Somebody may be on the path of bhakti, love to God, love for God, and maybe on the path of knowledge, meditation. All those four paths are given. But a person who progresses on this path, he gets closer to God, and ultimately the person starts practicing all. If I am serving the world, I serve the world as God, then I get love for God. I get love for God, I want to get knowledge. So I meditate and I study. So all these paths, ultimately, the person will adopt. He may be primarily a karma yogi or a bhakta, you know, a devotee, or on the path of knowledge, but all of them apply. So this is ended. I will just summarize the three shlokas. And then if somebody would like to add anything or has questions, please feel free. So as Arjuna said, that a person who does not achieve this highest goal, he may not get worldly joy and he may not get close to realization, so he will his life be wasted like a cloud dissolve without giving rain, you know. So will his life be wasted just as the cloud came, neither gave rain and it was dispersed. And then in the 39th he says, this doubt of mine, Krishna, only you can clarify this doubt, because you are my guru, you are my lord, you are my teacher, and you should clarify my doubts, please. So he requests him, and his main question is that person on the spiritual path did not reach God, and what happens to him? So Bhagwan in the 40 starts the answer. He says, neither in this life nor in the hereafter. In this life, your life will be good if you live a good life, and afterwards also you will go to heaven, you will have good things. So there is no destruction. I make sure that my devotee never perishes. So this is a summary of the three shlokas today. We'll make it open for, question and answers. If anybody here has a question, please feel free to ask. Or on the Zoom, if anybody has a question, please unmute and ask. So we have about 10 minutes, so we'll make time for questions. So thank you. Anybody has a question here or would like to add anything? Yes. So
we haven't seen the past, nor do we know what we did in the past. So if, let's say, you know, somebody's working hard, doing the best they can, and everything they're doing, but they're not seeing the results of that. They're not seeing fruit from that. Do they eventually just say, you know, God, but why not? I'm just leaving everything to you. I'll do the best I can. Even though I might not get the fruits of this, hopefully in the next life or in the future, I'll see some results from this. Or is there something they can do now to maybe ask Bhagwan to change something or rectify something?
So very good question. Next time you can come on the mic. But his question was that we don't know what the past was. And person is putting effort and not getting the results of his effort. So should he just dedicate to God and say, God, you take care of it? Or should he try harder or do something else? I think it's a very good question, and which often comes, yeah, we do not know the past, but we know that every action has a reaction, has a result. Even Newton said, every action has reaction. So every action produces a result. Like if I grow a tomato seed, it will give me fruit in few months. Mango seed will give me fruit in 10 years. So result comes right away. I put my hand in the electric plug. The plug won't say, I'll give you the shock tomorrow. Immediately it will give me the result. And on the other hand, some actions that I have done may not produce result right away, like difference between tomato and mango. So that is number one. Number two, develop a firm faith that whatever happening is God is doing it. Remove the I from it. Hoi wo soi jo Ram rachi rakha. Write down these lines and read them every day. And whatever is happening, Ram, Bhagwan, Ram is doing. Hoi wo soi jo Ram rachi rakha. It's a very, very powerful line in Ramayana, Tulsidasji writes in the Ramayana, Tulsi Ramayana, that whatever is happening, God is doing it. That we are here, it's God's grace that we are blessed. We have the time, we have the interest, we have the inclination. It is Bhagwan is doing everything. What I have to do is, that does not mean then that I become lazy and do nothing. I put in my best effort, but leave the result to God, and ultimately, whatever I deserve, I will get. And God is the doer. Even the inspiration to come here, God has given us. Otherwise, we could be watching TV or going to a football game or, you know, something else. So many things are going on. Play golf, you know. Or they say, oh, golf is like meditation. It's a lot of fun, maybe. But to me, you know, sitting down and, you know, talking about God, or we meditate, you know, before this class, we have 30-minute meditation, 10-20 to 10-50. That you feel God's presence right with you. So see God everywhere, see His hand, put in the best effort, and whatever I see, there is one thing. I have what I need, right? I mentioned that, that whatever I have, Bhagwan has given. Then it says, I need what I have. Now that is very difficult to explain, that bad things are going happening to me right now. I needed that. Good things are happening, I needed that. Because so joy and sorrow are both meant to take me closer to God. And if God is giving me sorrow, I accept it. That's why Kunti Mata used to tell Bhagwan Krishna, give me sorrow, because in sorrow I remember you. So whatever good or bad happening, he's doing it, accept it, do not complain, and put in your effort. Again, does not complain means you don't work. Put in your effort and offer the result to Bhagwan. Does that answer your question?
So then the point of, we can't change the past then in this life. Only thing we keep doing, you know, leave our faith in Bhagwan and just hope that, you know,
right,
next life or whatever happens in the future will be for the
right. Yeah, we cannot change our past, but what people do is keep brooding. Hey, if I had not done that, I shouldn't have done it. You know, you learn from the past, you made a mistake, but do not keep brooding. You know, 1 year of 3 years ago, why did I do that? Or why did she do that? So past, do not have regrets of the past. And we'll talk about past, present and future also next week. But basically, we either have regrets of the past or anxiety of the future. So also the next week meditation will be on this same topic of living in the present. I only, what I have in my hand is the present. I cannot change my past. Can I bring the future here early? No. Future will come as the present. On say Tuesday, when I come and I wake up in the morning, it will be now. It's not going to be the two days after Sunday. No, it will be. So whatever comes, it comes in the now, in the present. So live in the present. Do your best. Learn from the past, but do not regret. And do not get too much anxious about the future. You know, planning is good, but you know, most of us, at least I do, I overplan. And that is my problem. That you make a plan is good, but then you keep thinking about the plan. So live in the present as much as you can. That is, yeah, and then do your best. Yes.
Do the right thing. So if we planned and let's say we failed, then just know that something we've done in the past, that's the result of what we're getting.
No, if you fail in what you have done, then maybe you didn't plan very well, or you know, you didn't put enough effort, or at this moment that gain was not meant for me. Somebody else, say, I'm running in a race and one gets the gold medal, other comes last. He must have put more effort, or same thing in the company. Somebody got promoted, I didn't. You know, it might be his previous karmas that, you know, sometime it might be that. So trusting God, having complete faith in God. Thank you. Okay, so we'll end here. We'll continue Bhagwan's answer. Bhagwan will answer a little more next week. And then it will, I think in a couple of weeks, this chapter will end. Then he will just tell about the glory of the path of meditation. And we'll end there. So thank you very much. It's nice to have everybody back. Even I was missing the 3 months of not having the classes. So we'll see you next week. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Hi. Asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityurma amritangamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming. My pranams to all of you.